Jesus loves you.
At the end, we can just do announcements real quickly.
Okay.
Important things about Easter.
Yes, we'll do that. Amen. Let's pray, and we're going to trust God to minister His word to us now. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you've been doing in our midst here this morning. Lord, you love us, and you're taking us deeper and further to exalt you and to honor you. And we just really do ask that even this morning, as the word comes, as we sit under your word, Lord, will you bring transformation and renewal to every one of us today? In Jesus' name, amen. Just God has been doing something of deliverance here today. And do you know, I want to just say, deliverance is a process. And it's not just once for all. There are times when we open up our lives to stuff, and those things come and we get oppressed. I don't believe Christians can be demonized in a sense that it comes to live inside of you. You can be oppressed by the devil. But you need to examine your lives, and where you've opened up a door and the enemy has come, you need to get the devil out, because the enemy does oppress, and take authority. You don't only need a pastor to pray for you, but if you do need help, we are here to help you. But take authority over those things and break the authority of the enemy. I just think deliverance is such an important thing that we sometimes, we just think it's not relevant. It is a real thing you need to take. You need to live in victory over the enemy. So the topic today that we want to cover, and I think it's very appropriate, is called Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord God Almighty. And I just think this aspect of who God is such an important aspect. I was even thinking about it today, is that we've preached much about holiness, but we haven't spoken about a holy God. And I want to just really bring that before us today. So the question I'll ask you today, have you ever thought about what heaven would be like? I'm sure you have, and I think a lot of our imagery is about the beautiful mountains and the beautiful flowers and just the beauty of heaven and even the throne room of God, what it would be, just the absolute majesty of what it would be. But I want to just say to you, I think what's more important, not what it looks like, but what is the activity of heaven? And I want to suggest to you is that the activity of heaven is actually worship. That is the majority of what heaven's going to be about, because we're going to see a real God, a living God, almighty God, a holy God. And I believe the angels are doing that already. And I want to, some of the text that we use as the text for this is the aspect of knowing what is actually transpiring in heaven right now. And we head in there to be there and to participate in that. So the two scriptures that we're going to use this morning is from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, and Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 6 is about Isaiah when he went into the throne room. And it says here, and they were calling in one accord, or to get one together, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, the whole earth is full of His glory. And then in Revelation, each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all round and under his wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. This is the activity of heaven. So just in context of this, Jesus is a holy God, and in the outworking of following him, I don't know if you understand how he actually operated. He was a rabbi, he was a teacher. You know, today we would call him a theologian. He was there to reveal the truths of God. And he had a whole bunch of students that were with him. And now, today when we go to school, what actually happens? We go to a classroom, we sit down, and the teacher teaches you, or the lecturer lectures you, and you have a body of work to get through. But in the day of Jesus, it was very different. The rabbi went around, and that's why Jesus actually said, follow me, because he was a walking teacher. He walked around from village to village, and when he walked, he was amongst them, or he stood in front of them. He would teach them walking. And that's why it was very important, where he said to his disciples, we're not going to be in location. We are going to be a place walking and follow me. Because when I'm walking, I'm going to be teaching you. And that's what I really believe Jesus is doing today also, is that Jesus is living with you and he wants to teach you as you walk in life. It's not just a matter that he puts you in a seminary or he puts you in a classroom to learn about him. He puts you through life. And as he walks with you, he wants to teach you something about him. And I do believe is this aspect of understanding and knowing him is a very important thing. And to know him in your heart and to hear what he's actually saying to you. You know, when you study, I'm sure a lot of you have studied and have tried to memorize things. And you know, under the Hebrews, their memory was incredible. Out today, I think with social media, we were talking on Friday night and just saying, how many telephone numbers can you memorize now? Not many. If you haven't got your phone with you, you can't remember your spouse's telephone number. And remember at one time we knew all the telephone numbers, we could rattle them off, we could work the maths. Our memories were incredible. And even in that time, the time of Jesus, they remembered the scriptures. The scriptures were read and they put it to memory. And I'm just saying we've lost some of that art and we need to grow in that. But how do we study? A lot of the times if you understand study skills, and I want to say to those who are the students here that are writing exams, it's not how much you study, it's how you write that exam. And when you write that exam well, you've got to have studied well, and you've got to have some techniques how to remember what needs to be written. And I would suggest to you learn those things because that actually will be the difference between well or doing excellently. So what do we do when we try to memorize things? Normally what we do, and you'll see what I do here, I highlight it with color, or I circle it, or I put a NB, note bene, or put an arrow next to the thing and write the words out next to the thing. That's why I preach from paper, because I can highlight it. I can see what's important when I'm preaching to you. Now, electronic documents is a bit more difficult. You can get programs that you can highlight things, but it doesn't work as well as paper and a pen and a highlighter. But you want to know, the Hebrews, when they wrote scripture, God has also got a process of highlighting things. And he emphasizes things. But how does God actually do it? It's through repetition. And we see in the scriptures is that repetition is a very important aspect. And we see where God spoke to Joshua about the role that he had. And he spoke to him three times in different scriptures. It says different scriptures here, be strong and courageous. So the emphasis was three times to be strong and courageous. Even Paul in his writings to the Philippians, in Philippians 4, verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. So parents, don't get uptight with your children when you've got to repeat things many times. It's an emphasis that's got to take place. I know we say, I told you once, listen once. But it doesn't always happen that way. We've got to repeat things. And God does the same thing with us. And he's teaching us. Even Jesus in his discourse with his disciples in John chapter 3, verse 3, when he was talking to Nicodemus, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Jesus at the beginning puts an emphasis through repetition, verily, verily. And what does verily, verily mean? The Greek word behind verily is amen. And we always say amen at the end when a truth comes. Jesus telling you up front, amen, amen, this is the truth. He emphasizes in the beginning. But I say is that not only does God repetition with duplicate, but when he uses three times, this is a profound mystery and this is something that must be emphasized. And we see in the scripture when God talks about the attribute of who he is, and we see that in the scriptures here, this to the third degree of repetition, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Do you think God's trying to get our attention? He doesn't say anything about his love or about his justice and about his wrath and his grace. He doesn't say anything else. He says, holy, holy, holy. And I want to suggest to you today is that we better take cognizance when God actually speaks to the third time. He's trying to tell us something. So what is this? He's trying to tell us something about who he is, the essence of who he is. And I want to just say is that as we've come to Christ, we've got to grow and understand who he is. And I want to suggest is that because we live in a world that takes us away, we become indifferent. We become apathetic to understand who he is. But I believe the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us again, God alone is holy. He is a righteous. On me, I don't know what. He's a righteous and holy God. Now, God's got to reveal himself to every one of us. You don't go and find God. You've got to seek him with all your heart, and then he will reveal himself to you. But you don't just get to know him. And this thing happened with Uzziah. Uzziah in chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. And I'll read it to you. It says, in the year that the great king Uzziah died, I saw also that the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings and covered his face and covered his feet and covered when he flew. And he cried out, and one cried out to the other, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And the posts of the door moved, and the house was filled with smoke. And it says, and Uzziah says, woe is me, for I am done, because a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then one of the seraphims flew with a hot coal and put it upon his mouth and took away the guilt, because he had seen his sin. Their inanimate things on the revelation of a holy God started to move, and the house was filled with smoke. I think God, in his presence, doesn't always come and reveal his holiness, but doesn't negate that he's still a holy God. You see, when we get exposed to a holy God, we start to tremble, and we cry out to the Lord, woe is me, I'm undone. And even Habakkuk, it says in Habakkuk 3, verse 16, when he saw the presence of God, a holy, almighty God, righteous in every way, when I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself. This is what happens when you start to see a holy God. You get torn apart. You say, woe is me. You know, in English, when we talk about someone who is whole, a person of integrity, or we say someone's falling apart, someone has lost it, doesn't know what they're actually doing. But here, when you see the presence of God, you start to get undone and you fall apart. And I really do believe in our personal walks and our personal relationship with the Lord calls us to be holy as he is holy. And this thing of seeing him is not only here on a Sunday morning when we get together, but in your personal walk with the Lord, God wants to reveal his holiness to you. And when he starts to do that, you're going to be undone. You know, again, I say, is the world that we live in has enabled us to be comfortable in where we are. We haven't sought after a holy God. In a sense, what we have done, we have veiled ourselves from a holy God. We continue our lives. We continue to think that we walk according to our own understanding. And because we veil ourselves, we do not see the revelation of who he is. But I want to just say is our heavenly God, our holy God, wants to reveal himself. And he wants to bring us to a place where we will be in that place and we will see him for who he is. Jesus says to man that we have dirty lips. And in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, Jesus says to us, and we'll be held accountable, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. So when we understand we walk in with a holy God, we will do everything not to slander, to gossip, to murmur, to criticize, to speak those hard words. We're all guilty. But I want to just say, as we walk in the cognizance of knowing of an indwelling God who is holy, we will think twice before we open our mouths. Am I right? James even says in chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, he says, how can these words come out and praise God with the same mouth? We must realize that mouth has been given to us to praise God and must ensure that we keep our mouths holy before Him. You know, we forget the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments is who God really is. And He says in Exodus 20, verse 7, you shall not misuse the name of your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name. And I want to just say is that under the Jews, they've got to a place where I think personally, they've got to a place where they've got religious about it. They don't want to say His name properly. But I want to say that's the Old Testament. We're under the New Testament. And the name that is given to God is Jesus. It moved from Yahweh to be revealed in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I want to say in the world that we live today, and if you've been watching movies lately and you get into the wrong age group movie, you will see the profanity, not of swearing, but the profanity of the name of Christ. It flies out of their mouths. And I don't want to use the Lord's name in vain, but they use His name in absolute profanity. Now, do we do that? I hope we don't. But there's something of a holiness is must realize that the Lord actually calls us in Colossians chapter 3, whatever you do, whether it be in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God to the Father through Him. We do everything in His name. And I wanted to say the name of Jesus is not just the name that we've been given to close our prayers with. It's who He is. God is a name. And He puts everything in His name. And He's given us His name as we are in Christ. And I just really want to encourage us. We need to reflect that we carry the image of God. God is holy, and He calls us to be holy. In 1 Peter verse chapter 1, verse 13 to 16, but I'll just read the end of it. It says, who has called you is holy, and we need to be holy in all of our conduct. For it says in the Scriptures, be holy, for I am holy. This aspect of God's holiness, we don't always contemplate in our lives. But I wanted to say, when we think before we talk, when we think before what we do, and we consider that we're in the presence of a holy God in all that we do because He dwells within us, there's a transformation and a renewal that's going to come to our lives, a depth of walking in the presence of God. Because, you know, a lot of the times we walk in our own thinking, we walk in our own flesh, in our own understanding, but we don't walk in a presence of a holy God. And if we get this thinking right, that whatever we do, whatever we say, that we keep the sense of holiness in our hearts and the way we in what we conduct ourselves, you're going to start to see God in your life like you have never seen before. The honor and the respect of who He is. You know, we want revival. The greatest revival that can come is not the miracles that many people see, multiple healings. The revival is a revelation of who God is in our hearts. Now, why must we wait to heaven to see the fullness of who He is? And I believe this is the Holy Spirit that He's putting upon us. And you know what? We must stop being so casual and so comfortable with who God is. We must honor Him for who He is. The holiness of God, I remember I was still at Cornerstone and we were in charge of oversight of collecting the tithes and the offerings. And one of the ladies, they dropped some of the coins on the ground and one of the ladies said, ach, don't worry, it's just coins. And the Lord spoke to another lady then and rebuked them and said, no, the tithe is holy unto the Lord. And we are holy unto the Lord, and we do not have a right to live in unholiness. So I'm not asking you to be a prude. I'm not asking you to be legalistic. But I'm asking you to walk in the reality of a holy God that lives inside of you, because you have been made holy in Him. But our conduct has to carry that. So what? How do we get to sort that out? We've got to repent and turn to God. Repentance is not just when you come to Christ. Repentance actually is on a daily basis, where God reveals His greatness and His holiness to us. And the way we conduct ourselves, and I want to encourage you, when you belong, get into a place where you tender before God, and you recognize Him for who He is, and you start to worship Him as a holy God, that His name is holy, and that your conduct is holy, set apart only for Him, something of the reality of this mighty God is going to start to transpire in your lives. It's the difference from being a Christian and knowing the presence of God. Because, you know, you can just be a Christian and you can follow the Lord, and yes, you're going to get to heaven. But if you want to walk with the living God, you better work on your holiness. Yes, even though you found holy in Him, there's something in the outworking of your lifestyle and what you do ensure that holiness is there. And I've got some examples to you. Moses. We love Moses, and God called him and used him, and many miracles were done through the life of Moses. But in Numbers 20, verses 8 to 13, I'm not going to read it all to you, but it was the time when Israel again didn't have water, and they called out to God, and the Lord said to Moses, I want to provide for them, but this is the instruction that I have for you. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and I will pour water out of it. And you know what happened to Moses? Moses was angry with the people of Israel. He was angry. And he said to them, you rebels. And what did he do? He took his staff and he went to the rock and he hit the rock. And he hit it twice and the water gushed out. Now we thought, oh, that's a great miracle. But you know what? God was angry with him. Why? Because he didn't obey him. And actually, the rock represented Christ. And instead of speaking life to Christ, it hit Christ. And you know what? What the consequences of not walking in holiness was? Moses never entered into the promised land. It was God's intention, but his actions determined that he would not enter into his inheritance. He said, he stood on a mountain and he saw it. It even says later, he spoke to the Lord and said, Lord, I implore you, can I not go into the promised land? And the Lord said, that's enough. Do not talk to me about it anymore. When we mess up God's holiness, God gets serious. Now, I'm not trying to put you in a place that you think that you're in a bad place, but we've got to ensure that we don't rebel against God's holiness, that we don't mess with His holiness. If we want to get closer to Him, we've got to ensure that these things take place. The early church, New Testament, Ananias and Sapphira. The church was learning to be generous. They were giving everything to support the poor and to support the needs of the church. Then Ananias and Sapphira, they withheld money, willingly knowing that they were telling the people that they're giving everything, but they were holding money back. And what actually happened? They abused God's holiness and they lied to the Holy Spirit, and both of them died. Imagine if that starts to happen in the life of the church. And I want to say to you, you might not think it as drastic, but I'm telling you now, it's happening in the church. God's holiness has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's still happening today. And we cannot mess up God's holiness. We've got to ensure that we keep ourselves in a place of tender in His love, under His grace, but honoring His holiness in all that we do. I'll tell you a story of a modern day prophet. His name was Paul Cain, and Artie Kendall told us this story, so hopefully I'll convey it correctly. Paul Cain was ministering in a church in America, and he was ministering. And while he was ministering, a lady started to come up with tongues. And we know tongues, we have tongues of interpretation, but a tongue interpretation didn't come. And he felt an unction in his heart. This wasn't of God. So he got up to a place where he actually said to the lady, "Lady, I just sense that's not of God, but please don't do that. You're actually messing up the meeting. God is doing something here. Are you messing up the meeting?" So he had another meeting the next night. And the lady came and brought a tongue again. And the Holy Spirit with him got so upset and overwhelmed by this. And he said to her, "I told you to stop doing this." And the Lord said through him, he said, "You know, because you've been disobedient, I'm going to reveal things that what you're doing in this church you don't want to hear." And Paul Cain was a prophet used by the Holy Spirit. And he said, "You have an affair with someone in the life of this church." Oh, sure, profound, incredible. What actually happened when they went to the pastor's house afterwards and started discussing the thing? The pastor closed down the meetings with Paul Cain because this woman was having an affair with a businessman in the life of the church who was providing all the finances for the building fund. Now, if this was revealed in the life of the church, the building wouldn't go forward. He closed the meetings down. The Holy Spirit said through Paul Cain to this pastor, he said, "You will build the church, but you will never preach in it." 2 years later, the building was ready. They were about to dedicate it. The pastor was walking up to the church, about to preach at the opening of the church. He had a heart attack and died before he entered the church. Now, we don't see that always in the life of the church today, do we? Because we walk under God's grace. But you know, if God's going to start pouring out his Spirit and we're going to start to see the move of God's Spirit, he's calling you and I to holiness. A righteous, almighty God who has been worshipped in heaven all the time for his holiness. Do you think he's going to step back from his holiness? I don't think so. So I want to encourage you is that God's about to move. Remember, we work with God, the Holy Spirit. That's his name. And in his righteousness and the wonder of who he is, this closeness that he's calling us to, he's calling us to live those lifestyles. Now, I want you, when you leave here and you spend time with the Lord, to ponder on this thing, not to hear just the message, what God has got for you. Because my heart is God wants to reveal his holiness to you, not according to your qualifications and what you think you are, but because of who he is. And if we're going to go forward and we're going to see a move of God's Spirit in the life of this church and through this church, there's that degree that's got to take place. This thing of indifference towards him, this thing of being apathetic towards him, to seeing that his name is frivolous, that we don't honor him for who he is, will just cause the Holy Spirit to be grieved and to step back. And I believe God has earmarked this family to do something wonderful. And that's why he's bringing this revelation to us that he's a holy God, because he wants to reveal his holiness. And you know, when we start to walk in the holiness, people around us are going to be convicted of their sin. We see in the life of Peter when he walked, people were falling under the power because of this power of sin in their lives, and the holiness was revealed. Not because who you are, but because who is he that's within you. And I'm very encouraged by the Lord by wanting to do this, to bring a revelation of who he is in our lives. So I don't believe this is something that we can just pass. I like to pray for us, because I really believe this thing is a process. This is not a thing that's instantaneous. This is a thing that's got to be a revelation through the scriptures. It's got something that we've got to be cognitive of, something that we've got to work towards. And if we work towards this, we're going to start to see God for who he really is. He's not a man. He's not a man. He's God Almighty, but he's holy. He's holy. He's holy. Can I pray for us? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us the privilege of being in Christ, that the righteous requirements that you place before your people have been fulfilled in him, and that we have, through your grace, the privilege to stand before you in the power and the authority of your name. But Father, I want to bring us as a people before you, and not because we condemn, but because we have a revelation of who you are, that you are a holy God. And I ask, Lord, will you bring this revelation of who you are to every individual of this family, young and old, that, Lord, that when we step and we walk, that we would walk with a reverence and an awe of who you are, that our walk with you would not be casual, that we would not just be indifferent, we would not be apathetic to you in any way, but we would recognize you for who you are. May our worship be transformed, that we recognize your holiness, that we would praise your holy name, that when we use your holy name, that your name would be honored and glorified through us. I pray that as your children, you will teach us to walk in understanding of who you are. You're our Father, but yet you are holy, almighty God. And may we walk with a balance of that in our hearts, in our lifestyles, and the way we speak to one another. I know, Lord, we've got a lot of change to do in all our lives. But I pray for that transforming work with you, Lord, that you would teach us, Holy Spirit, that every one of us, Lord, will grow deeper in understanding not only your love and your grace and your mercy, but understanding your holiness. Lord, we cannot conjure this up. We cannot manufacture this thing. But you need to reveal it to us. But I pray for that holiness as we walk with you, that the people of the world will see in our lives as we live our lives in you an outworking of your holiness like never before. That, Lord, that the righteous, almighty God will be evident in and through us. And I pray, Lord, that as we walk in that, our communities will be changed. Our businesses will be changed. Our families will be changed. Our nation will be changed. That the nations of the earth will be changed. We thank you for that now. In the name of Jesus, amen.